Thank you, Blake. We're going to begin with the text that was read for us a few moments ago, Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 16. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. As we think about the dark world into which the gospel first came, I find it interesting because you ever notice that when we look at the record of Scripture and the reaction of early Christians to the world around them, unlike what perhaps we might hear today, in which we would say, look what the world is coming to. Look at all of the changes, how bad it seems to be getting. Instead, it seems to be instead that a reaction of this nature is reflected. Look what has come into the world. What do I mean by that? Well, as we think about what Scripture indicates to us, this dark world of the first century, this dark world into which the gospel was born, we see that the record of Scripture shows that into this dark world we see true light, and that which enlightens had come. Over in the Gospel of John, if you'd look with me in John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, the Apostle John, as he begins this great gospel, says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He, speaking of John, was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was, notice this, the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. I am touched here by the fact that John reflects an attitude that says something great has come. True light has come. And it is a light that enlightens the whole world. Over in John chapter 9 and verse 5, Jesus would identify himself in this same way. In John chapter 9 and verse 5, Jesus would say this, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. What a profound thought that is. That here in the midst of darkness, Jesus comes forth and asserts himself as a light to a dark world. But beyond that, I want us to notice as well that in this light coming into a world of darkness, along with it, there are a people that are said to be his people, that are said to be a people from which light shines. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, I've been doing quite a bit of study this week in the Sermon on the Mount, and if you'll notice with me in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, Jesus makes a declaration. He'll talk about two things that are very influential to those things around them. He'll talk about salt, but he'll also talk about light. And in verse 14, he says, you, speaking to those disciples, those who will follow him, those who will be a part of his kingdom, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, as we think about that, the text that we began with, remember, it said some powerful things. The text said, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Notice this, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Not only is it true that the light of Jesus came into a world of darkness, but Christians in this text, as we read in Matthew chapter 5, are themselves said to shine as lights in the world. As we think about that, we might kind of throw up our hands and say, wait a minute, I can't have much influence in which I am a light shining in this dark world. What can I do? What kind of influence and impact can I have? As the world continues to get worse and worse, remember, the world was pretty bad when the gospel first came forth. But that's why we began at the beginning of our lesson by pointing out that they were recognizing that something remarkable had come into the world. They weren't focusing on how bad the world had become, but they were considering the influence that the power of God in the life of Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel could have upon the world around them. And I think we need to recognize that the same thing is true today. So how is it then that we, if we are to shine as lights in this crooked and perverse generation, which certainly would aptly describe our world today as it described the world in the first century, would it not? How is it that we are to shine as lights in the world? First of all, I think we must recognize some things about who that body of people is that believes in Jesus Christ, that has been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, we must recognize that the church is not some abstract entity. The church is not something that is separate and apart from the people that are a part of the Lord's church. The church is people. People who themselves are described as children of the light. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 with me for a moment. And notice with me in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 8. Here the Apostle Paul says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of the light." What a remarkable thought that is. Here, speaking to those that, as he writes here to this church in Ephesus, a Gentile city, Ephesus, a city known for a pagan temple there that was known throughout much of the world, and yet he describes the fact that they were once in darkness, but now they are children of light. Isn't that not true of every Christian that is named the name of Christ? You were once in darkness, but now you are children of the King. Now you are children of light. The church that Jesus purchased by his shed blood is not some insignificant entity. The church that is comprised of these children of light is not something that we should imagine is just a minor thing, something that's inconsequential. Quite the contrary. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, I want us to remind ourselves of what the apostle here tells the young man Timothy about the purpose and the work and the focus of the church. We've been studying this in our Sunday morning adult class as we've been going through 1 Timothy, and we're, Lord willing, going to look at 2 Timothy as well. But here, as he, from what we seem to understand from the chronology of things, Timothy's been left in Ephesus, and he has gone on into Macedonia, and he hopes to return. And in verse 15 he says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God." Notice this. "Which is the church of the living God." But notice, he not only gives this description here of the people of God as the house of God, the church of God, but then he talks about what their work and purpose and focus is. The church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now think with me about that statement. You know, sometimes in our discussions with our friends in the religious world, we find ourselves in a position in which we've got to really challenge them to think, well, what is authorized in Scripture? What is the work of the church? And we live in a world in which many have imagined that the work of the church is political in nature. Many have imagined that the work of the church is social in nature. Some have begun to imagine that the work of the church actually has to do with entertainment and aspects thing related to that. But here Paul tells Timothy that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and I want us to notice the full extent of this. And remember, we're thinking about this idea from the book of Philippians, that we as Christians are said to shine as lights in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. And I understand sometimes, as we look at our lives that seem and feel pretty small compared to the large events that go on around us, we may imagine that we can exert very little influence, that we don't have very much impact. But I want us to rethink that, because I want us to realize that one Christian shining forth with the light of the gospel, living in obedience to the word of God, shines in the midst of a dark world in a way that we may never fully be able to comprehend the influence that we're capable of. And in fact, I want us to understand that not only are we as Christians put in a position in which, in the world of darkness around us, in which we've got other human beings that maybe don't know the light of the gospel yet, and the only way they'll come to see that is through the light that can shine forth from our life. Not only is that true, but listen with me to the words in Ephesians chapter 3 about the fact that when we shine as lights in the world, there's something else that's going on in the unseen realm. There's something else that the church of God is doing in a spiritual sense. Ephesians chapter 3, begin with me in verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery from which the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known, listen to this, by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now stop there for a moment and listen to what we just read. The church makes known to the principalities and powers in the heavenlies, in the heavenly places. We're talking about a spiritual dimension here. Do I understand the full extent of that? No. But when God's people, in submission to Christ as King, live in the manner in which the gospel reveals, we say something not just to the world around us, we say something to the spiritual realm that remains unseen. And that's our purpose. That's our work. Notice it goes on to say, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. I want us to recognize that being members of the Lord's church is a privilege. I want us to recognize that being children of light that can reflect that great light from the true light which has come into this world is an honor that we need to appreciate. And let us never imagine that, well, you know, just being a part of a local church, just holding forth the faith in the gospel, that's not very much. It is very significant. And once again, as we think about these issues of, well, what should the church do? What is the authority? What is the work of the church? How important it is for the church not to be distracted from its work. If we are to be the pillar and the ground of the truth, if we find ourselves preoccupied with those things that we never find within the Word of God, are we really, truly going to fulfill our work? Are we really going to shine as lights in the darkness of this crooked and perverse generation? I want us to think about this a little bit more, because back to the text that we began with in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, I want us to ask ourselves the question, how are we shining as lights in the world? Now, I mean this personally. I also mean it collectively, because it's important for us to understand in the context of those words that Paul said, how is it that we may do that, and how is it perhaps that we may fail to do that? Remember, the text that we began with started in verse 14 by the instruction that we're to do all things without complaining and disputing. Now, it's in this same passage that he'll describe us as shining in lights in the, as lights in the world. Does that not suggest to us that we are not going to fulfill that function? If we are distracted by complaints, we are distracted by disputing, we are distracted by these kinds of grumblings that can be a part of life in this age if we are not careful. When we think about the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, certainly they were distracted from their goal and purpose of reaching the promised land when they began to grumble and complain and dispute among themselves. Let's make certain that we are not hindering the extent to which we need to shine as lights in the world by complaining and disputing and grumbling. But notice he goes further. Chapter 2, verse 15. We're to be blameless, harmless children of God without fault in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. You know, there's little that can damage the influence of children of God more than a hypocritical kind of life, than saying one thing and doing another. Now, understand that many within the world around us look at Christians just waiting for them to demonstrate hypocrisy. Many in the world around us expect that if we set forth the standard of the gospel as it pertains to morality, as it pertains to honesty, as it pertains to living in the way that the gospel teaches, they are looking for us to stumble. Now, I'm not ever suggesting that we need to communicate an attitude that we don't struggle the same way that all human beings do. But let it never be that we are blind to our own faults. Let it never be that we allow ourselves to have those things that are wrong in our lives. To have those areas in which I'm not being blameless. I'm not being harmless. I have fault, but I'm not going to deal with it. May that never be. Because I want to tell you, as we think about this idea of shining as lights in the world, we are going to put out our light. We are going to hinder the effect that we can have on others if we don't live as blameless, harmless, and without fault. But then the last part of the reading in verse 16 described those who are set forth as lights in the world, as holding forth the word. And I've got light there. It should be life. Holding forth the word of life. And I want us to think about that, because if we truly are to be shining as lights in the world, what is it we emphasize? What is it that people see in our lives? I realize that there are many things in this world that are not wrong in and of themselves. We've got hobbies, we've got interests, we've got occupations, we've got family, we've got friends, we've got food we've got to put on the table, we've got bills that we've got to pay, we've got times in which we need to relax and catch our breath. But if, as people look at us, the only thing that they see in our lives are those things which pertain to the flesh, those things which pertain to the temporary things of this world, can it really be said that we are holding forth the word of life to this dark world around us? Now, let's think about this from a little bit different angle. Because I want us to recognize that if, in fact, we as Christians, we who are believers, are light shining forth in the midst of a dark world, why is it that so often it's easy for us to just kind of think, look how bad everything is, instead of thinking about the process that goes on all over the world, in which you've got those that believe in Jesus Christ. You've got those that have put their faith in Him as the Son of God. You've got those that are striving to their very best to follow the Word of God in spirit and in truth and in obedience to the gospel. And what results from that? All over the world, there are those Christians who are doing God's will, and they strive to do so without complaining and disputing. They strive to do so living lives in which they aim at being blameless and harmless children of God without fault, holding fast the word of life in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Let's end with the text we began with in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, I have not run in vain or labored in vain. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you that, as we noticed in the early readings in our lesson, true light has come into this world. It is the light of Jesus Christ that enlightens all men. And we may be children of that light, if we will put our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, confess that faith before men, repent of sin that separates us from God, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. We then are no longer in darkness. We were once in darkness, but we may become children of light. If we can help you with that, won't you come? While we stand and sing.